بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها. واعلم أن ما يصيبك لم يكن ليخطئك وأن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك. There's two people. One is Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He lost his father. And he says, the comfort that I got from a villager, I didn't get from anybody. So the villager said, خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ خير لك من العباسي أجره. There's two sides to this calamity that you are going through. One side is the loss of the father. So it's one side of the calamity. So if you look at it that it's a loss, then what you have gained is far greater than the loss. The loss is the father, but what you have gained is the divine pleasure, reward, assistance from Allah Ta'ala. So obviously that is far greater than Abbas himself. Though the father was a great means of comfort, happiness, fulfillment and satisfaction, but then the reward that comes after a disaster, after a calamity, after a problem, is far in excess of that. But just that we don't see that. Because we don't see the reward, therefore we don't seem to be appreciating it. See, this knowledge or this understanding of the ghaib is so evident, it's so clear, that you don't need to elucidate and keep explaining, because it's so evident. See, life is sustained, right, by the earth, isn't it? Growth, vegetation, and life is sustained through that. So you don't see the growth. All you do is you just dig the furrow and sow the seed. If you get the seed, you cut the seed, you don't see anything in it. So that fruit or that veg, whatever it was, that growth, came from the unseen. It didn't come from the unseen. Before that, there was nothing. You just sowed the seed, that was just the physical side of it. But who brought about the growth? So it's come entirely from the unseen. The seed was so helpless, weak, absolutely nothing. And then, within days, within weeks, Allah Ta'ala allowed it to spring out, sprout out, take a beautiful shape, provide the nourishment, nutrition, etc. All that was packed into that. So where did it come from? Ask yourself where it came from. The seed itself doesn't have the brain to do all this. It doesn't have the strength to do it. It was the divine intervention. Allah Ta'ala made it happen. So you didn't see it and it came about. So the farmer sees Allah Ta'ala much more than anybody else. One is at the time that he sowed the seed, then he's looking at the heavens, Allah Ta'ala, this thing must come out nicely, everything must work out very beautifully for me. 3-4 days ago, one person is doing a little bit of farming, so he came. So he says, you know, I do this type of farming, fruit, mangoes, or whatever else, like leeches and all that. See, the one year I had a bumper crop, and you know, I thought I'd do so much, I'd make so much. It was almost there. It was just a matter of about 3 weeks, and I could have made a fortune for myself. And then a sudden hot wind came, and all the crop was destroyed. So how much is his nigah, his nazar on Allah Ta'ala? I'll put everything in place, but then it's subject to the divine intervention. Everything is subject to him. So at the time that you sowed the seed, it was left to Allah Ta'ala. At the time that it was almost there, it's not there fully yet, it's almost then to you looking at Allah Ta'ala, please now, just 3 weeks, let it happen. After you sown the seed, one is looking at the ground, then you look at the heavens. Allah, please, the rains come at the right time. It's possible that Allah Ta'ala delays the rain for after the season. So the season, say, is December. So he brought the rains, but he brought the rains in February. Then what happens? So that farmer, his nazar, his sight is so much on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you see Allah ta'ala, he's so much in the unseen. Allah, please do forgive us. Please shower your mercies upon us. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مَا يُسِيبُكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْتِيَكَ. Allah Ta'ala willing, it happens. Allah Ta'ala doesn't will, nothing can happen. So this iman, this yaqeen, and this conviction has to be repeatedly discussed. Talk about it, understand it, see it. أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ, don't you see? فَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُسُونَ, don't you see? So Allah Ta'ala is inviting you to look at this creation. Instead of looking at the TV, instead of looking at the phone, etc., etc., come out in a farming place and see this, the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala didn't invite you towards this, but He did invite you. أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحَرُسُونَ أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ. Look at that water that you drink. Just look at it. If you look at it scientifically, then it's mind-boggling. Because what we understand is that vapor has risen, right? But the vapor, that vapor rises mainly from where? From the sea. Right? So when it comes up from the sea, it's supposed to be salty, right? Because it's coming from the sea. Then all that desalination, salination or desalination, all is happening somewhere. The desalination process, everything is happening somewhere. And you can't find a quality of water more nutritious than the rain that's coming from above. Now who did that desalination? Who filled it up with that nourishment, that nutrition? Who did it? أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ. I was asking one farmer friend, you know, what type of friends he must have. I say, ask him, is there any difference in the rains? This is the first rain of the season. Then you get the last rain of the season. There's a chalk and a cheese difference. So we see this thing here. He says, we see it. He says that first rain that comes is filled with nourishment. It's so filled, you can see the color, like whitish, you can see it. And it's so nutritious that just one rain, that first rain, and that whole ground changes. The color, the beauty, the gloss, everything just changes, just one rain. Or exactly the same happens in an animal, right? That when it delivers, then must look at the first milk. At first milk, you can't drink it. It's so thick, it's like porridge, you know, it's so thick. So the young needs that type of nutrition for its growth. You can't drink the thing. It's so thick. Really, it's like porridge. That's the first milk. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ. You see this, you see the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Look at it repeatedly. Instead of just going and playing in the beach, in the sand, Pag Bora Jawa Karta, going to dip your feet, please teach them the Qudrat of Allah, show them, see the Qudrat of Allah, where it was and what it is now. See, in about 5 places in the Quran Sharif, Allah speaks about the home front and the importance of the home front, and all in every address Amr has been used, and Amr, it comes to show obligation. Not option. It's not an optional thing. It's an obligatory thing. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Instruct your household about namaz, and you also remain firm. You remain firm on your namaz, and you see to it that you tell your household. It's a command. Command coming from Allah Ta'ala comes for wujub, comes to show that it's an obligation. So when you're talking to them about namaz, it means everything that will make the namaz perfect. Otherwise, if the namaz is not done like how it's supposed to be done, I'll say, I ask you, will it be perfect? Will it be complete? It has to be done in a certain way for the namaz to reach perfection. See that. وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Again, in another place, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. See, again, all command your household. Huh? Tell me the truth, if that food that was served, right, at the main meal time, it just was taken out from the fridge, right, have it, or put into the micro and have it. See, you know the rights of the husband. Yeah? Do you know about the rights of the husband? How hard they work for you all? Yeah? Like the rights of the husband is far greater than the rights of Allah Ta'ala as well. That's how we make it to appear. And if she ever served you with cold tea, American ice cold tea, then you could have it, you enjoy it. You'll put up a front, you'll say something, you'll do everything else. But for your rights, you make such a demand. What do you think? I came from the zoo or something. I look like an animal. You're treating me like this. So you become so upset. Your rights. And the rights of Allah Ta'ala, he's saying, Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your household from the fire. So how are you going to save? You're going to save if you know how to save. And the way to save is to show them what will take them to the fire. And what will take them to Jannah. Who anfusakum? How are you going to save? So you're going to show them, alright, you're going to do this, you're playing with fire. And you're going to move away this way, so you're going to go towards Jannah. So you have to show them what will take them to Jannah and what will save them from Jahannam. You have to show them. That's called talim. Isn't that called talim? Instruction, teach them. Who anfusakum wa alikum? Not only yourself. You say, no, my namaz, I'm doing it alright, but what about your household? Save them from Jahannam. So all the things that will take them to Jahannam, save yourself and save your household. I repeat all the time, I'm talking about it now, that it's not just namaz, but anything that will take the person, that individual, the child, the household to Jahannam. Anything. Nowadays I talk about clothing, right? So anything that is new, that Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullah says, that anything that comes out new, there is a degree of darkness in it. Any new invention, anything comes up that's not in conformity with the time of Rasulullah Pasan, there's going to be some level of darkness. Whether it's a light that shows its brightness, there's going to be some darkness in it. Now look at the clothing, right? So the clothing today is tights. It's heavy, tight and short. Men or women, but the whole theme is, well, the theme of the clothing, tights and short. I ask you, isn't the theme? And the head must be uncovered. Tight, short, head uncovered. Isn't that the theme? A good home or not a good home? That's the theme. It must, your body must, the shape, the contours must be revealing. So how nice your body appears. Now that's the theme of the clothing this day. So this is the theme of the clothing of those people that are not committed to deen. مَن تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Now if we need to guard ourselves outside the home and within the home, I ask you, are we free to do what we want in the homes? Are we free to do it? If you're not free, then we cannot have a different pattern at home and a different pattern out of the home. Both we need to be straight. Lama Shami has got a quotation that even within the home, you can't move around with your shorts. Within, it's your home, it's just you living there, or just you sharing the house with your wife. He says, you need to be even more bashful and modest in the confines of your home. Because then you are more conscious of the presence of Allah Ta'ala when you're all alone. When you're all alone, you're more conscious of it. So then you need to be even more modest, how you dressed up. So the modern clothing is always going to have some type of darkness, some type of zulmat, darkness, they must be in that clothing. So rather that clothing that's looking old-fashioned is not appealing, rather wear that clothing. It starts off at this point. Now you see, sometimes I have to tell my grandchildren also, right? See the modern clothing, right? The modern clothing you'll find, one is the old clothing and one is the new clothing. So I tell them, even when they are playing, it is not the modern clothing. Play and have some thick clothing, but not the modern clothing. See, this now the modern is that you have that type of a t-shirt and that type of a Bermuda, or call it a jammies, right? That type. So not that. Why not that? Because if you know wear that, you will begin to have a liking for that type of a culture. You cannot say that you are wearing that and you won't have a liking for that. I ask you, you wear that clothing, you will only adopt the clothing when you have a liking for that culture. But look in the tafsir of لَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, and see what Qazi Bayzawi Rahmatullah will say about that. لَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Don't even incline towards the zalim, towards the wrong, right? Kufar, people that are not committed to deen, then they are all zalims. Whether they are kufar, whether they are not committed to deen, but to that proportion that they are not, they haven't committed themselves to deen. So don't wear that clothing. Because you are saying from your behavior that I have a liking for this clothing here, therefore I am showing out with this clothing here. See this colored clothing, right? Are you wearing a simple white vest, right? You in your casual dress, for example, now you need to be outside playing, so you can't put your long kurta, it's going to be difficult. Even then, not clothing that's got any semblance with these people here. No semblance at all. So if the child has to die, then he has semblance with righteous. Man tashabbaha biqawmi. If he's living, he's got a semblance with the righteous. If he's died, he's got a semblance with the righteous. Not a semblance with the wrong. So these type of concepts and etiquettes must be taught to the child from the very, very, very primitive, you know, formal years. The formal years of his life, he must be taught. So he must say, no, I dislike this, I dislike this. When we spoke about photography, etc., so I should see the children at home now. Any container, like you know, you've got a Milo tin or a Nesquik, now all children want all these things, right? So I see they just come from the shop and they have one sticker, row of stickers. And it's a little bit expensive, right? But I will never discourage it. They got the dislike for it. Right? When they got a dislike for it, they're expressing their dislike, and I am happy about it. Although it's costly, but the showing their dislike for it, and when they're showing their dislike for it, that aversion must be on the increase all the time. It mustn't decrease at any time. As Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, that because, he says, فُضِّلْتُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّينَ بِسِتِّينَ أَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. It's about six things that Rasulullah was distinguished above all the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So, one of the things that he was distinguished with, right, that he is the Khatamun Nabiyyin, he is the seal of prophethood. As a seal of prophethood, that marks that there is no Nabi to come after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no Nabi. So now when there is no Nabi to come after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then those avenues that could have led you to shirk and kufr, that avenues have also been closed, sealed up. So, it may have been permissible in the former religions, like sajda ta'zim, right? Making sajda for a person was permissible. وَرَفَعَ بَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. They raised their parents onto the throne and they all fell down in sajda for Yusuf alayhi salam, right? وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمُ وَسَجَدُوا. So it was permissible in the previous religions, but this was an avenue that would lead you to shirk. Now because it can lead you to shirk for the potential, therefore the Sharia has banned it completely. When it's banned it now, you can't say, one person can't say, well, you know, I am an exception to the rule. It doesn't apply to me. Because it will not lead me to shirk and kufr. When a law is passed, if the law is general, then you cannot say that this law doesn't apply to me, right? Like, see, the four imams, in this day, the four imams have ruled that because it's a day of fitna, this discussion is quite long. Now, I go on the discussion, then because it's academic level, then it doesn't go very well with others, right? But the discussion is quite lengthy, right? But the discussion goes as this, that because it's a day of fitna, then it is compulsory for the woman to cover her face, right? Originally, in the fiqh of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Shafi, Imam Rafi, one is Imam Rafi, one is Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, right? Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is totally forbidden, Imam Rafi rahmatullahi alayhi is permissible, right? So it was not compulsory for the woman to cover her face. But all are unanimous that if it's a time of fitna, then it's compulsory to cover the face. There's no exception. At the time of fitna, then it's compulsory to cover the face. Now they got that hadith from where they got that hadith? They got the hadith from here. On the farewell Hajj, and in some places, Fadl ibn Abbas was mounted on the mount of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, behind him. So one Khas Amiya woman came to ask some masala. Now it's like natural, if someone is posing a question, then you will look at him. What do you say? You can understand the person best when you look at him, right? So Fadl now is young, smart looking, and this girl that is asking this fatwa also, she is also quite smart looking. Fadl is looking at her. So Rasulullah turned the face of Fadl ibn Abbas on the other side. Abbas, that's the father, he's learning deen, so he's asking, so why did you turn your cousin's face away? Fadl is the cousin of Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says, رَأَيْتُ شَابًا وَشَابَّةً فَلَمْ آمَنْ الشَّيْطَانَ عَلَيْهِمَا. I saw a young man and a young woman. I felt very, very insecure. Shaitan could have just misled them. Temptation. He can just create temptations. So I saw that. So now from this hadith, you learn two things. Now look at the fuqaha and how they look at things, right? One is this, that when you see a wrong, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِي. Try and change it with your hands. You can change it, physically change it, correct it. For some reason you can't do it, then فَبِلِسَانِ. Then your tongue. But you must change it. That's one thing. The second thing is, when there is fitna, فَلَمْ آمَنْ الشَّيْطَانَ عَلَيْهِمَا. I didn't feel secure. Shaitan will create some fitna just now, so I turn the face away. So now you see, it can lead, it's got the potential to lead to haram. When it's got the potential to lead to haram, Rasulullah sealed it off. Do you see that? It's not haram in itself, but doesn't it have the potential to lead you to haram? And then when a law is passed, and the law is general, then I can't say that I'm an exception to the rule. Yes, where there is a genuine exception, it's a different thing. Now for example, a woman is going for a medical treatment, right? And there's nobody, no Muslim woman to treat her. Now what can she do? It's a serious thing, it's a heart operation, there's nobody to treat her. Now what can she do? The only option is to go to a male. Obviously, that circumstance, that's an exception to the rule. But now everything becomes an exception. I'm an exception, you're an exception. You can't do that. See, understand, deen is not just a philosophy. As the Shah Waliullah Sabrata says, that deen, without khashyat, without the tasawwuf, right? It just becomes a philosophy. Bartanzani, marshal. If you just apply it to your body, then that same deen becomes a snake. And if it is that you strike that into your heart, then it's your friend. Now we look at hadith, we look at fiqh, etc. And with what sight and vision we look at it, how can I make a plan here? How can I work it out? So when you're looking for ways to work out things, then this becomes a snake, it becomes a danger, potential danger for you. See, now how you understand this, it becomes a danger. You see, a lawyer, he will look at the law and the constitution differently, right? He will look at it differently. And a person that is very faithful to the constitution, he looks at it differently. The one that is very faithful, he looks at it, alright, what is the spirit of the constitution? What the government wants? Right. So he look at it from a different perspective entirely, and this is not pleasing to the government. Though you can get away, but really it doesn't conform to the spirit of the constitution. But now the lawyer, what he looks? The lawyer is looking for a loophole to get out. He's looking for a loophole to get out of this mess. But now see, both are looking at the same thing, but with different vision. The vision here is different, his vision is different. His sight is different, his sight is different. Now suddenly then that lawyer becomes an alim, then it's dangerous. Because then the sight that he was looking at law, is looking at deen with the same sight. That how can I make a plan, work out something here, work out something there. So that's why the poet is saying, Bartan zani marshawa. If you were to strike this onto your body, material, those material purposes, then this becomes a potential danger for you. It's going to become a disaster. But if you take this deen, apply it to your heart, you're looking at the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, you're looking at the azmat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you're looking at His glory. Now you look at deen differently. Hey, this can be a problem. I don't want to go near it. Because why? يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Right? The one that has the fear of Allah Ta'ala, right? He is an alim. Al-alimu man yakhsha. Man lam yakhsha falaysa bi alim. Who is an alim? Alim is the one who's got khashiyat. And if he doesn't have khashiyat, he's deprived, he's bereft of khashiyat, he's not an alim. That's the approximate statement of Hasan Basri of Mutlali. If he doesn't have that, then he's not an alim. Now again he says that an alim doesn't mean that he went through the formal course, you know, Arabic, first year, second year, third year, no, that's not an alim. Now what is an alim? We say, oh, that's an alim, he went through the whole course and he's an alim. No. Alim is the one who learned and digested, recognized the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Who learned and recognized the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. He's got the ma'rifat, he's got the recognition of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Right. So he's a different thing. He learned, what he learned? He recognized Allah Ta'ala. He's got the khashiyat of Allah Ta'ala. So that's an alim. Now, Hasan Basri Rahmatullah says it. The same thing is reported by Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhi. He says, لَيْسَتِ الْعِلْمُ بِكَثْرَةِ الرِّوَايَاتِ. Ilm is not the, I know so much, hey, this hadith I know that hadith, I know that Arabic, I know this. That's not ilm. Who is saying this? Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhi. Imamu Dari Hijra. He's saying it. Right? That ilm is not that I know so much. I know this, and I know this, and I know so much hadith, so much Quran, I know the translation. That's not ilm. إِنَّمَا هُوَ نُورٌ يَدَعُهُ اللَّهُ فِي الْقَلْبِ. This khashyat, what does it refer to? It is a light. What light? That light of recognition. What? That light of recognition, that light of ma'rifat. When it comes into the heart, that's called ilm. Without that, it's darkness. And when I say it's darkness, I'm saying it literally is darkness. Someone went and learned the alim course, but he went and learned that alim course in a university environment from a kafir. I ask you, will he have any level of fear of Allah Ta'ala? Any level of fear of Allah Ta'ala? So the level of fear comes when he's got the right association. In the right association, in the right environment, he's got it, then that khashiyat may come into him. That too is not a guarantee, it may come. The same point I was explaining to someone. So you see, these lessons of Allah Ta'ala are so clear, but we live such a fast life that we don't take out the time to reflect. That's the problem. In this life, this time and age, the thing that we short of is we don't take out the time to reflect. We read a lot, we learn a lot, but the time for reflection, understanding, putting things in perspective, nobody's got the time. Not an alim, not a ghair alim, nobody's got the time. Now, this association is so important, right? Now, understand, see that it's so natural, it is so clear, it is so important. Right? The dua is Allah Ta'ala, right? Look at that egg and look at the head. Right? That egg was dead. If you bust that egg, what you found? You found a yellow and you found a white. You found the yellow and you found the white. Anything else you found? Dead. Any life in it? No life in it. Right? The hen sat on that egg, right, for approximately 21 days. When it sat on that egg for 21 days, then that which was dead became alive. It sprung up with life. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. Right. But what lesson you learned? The lesson that you learned is the lesson of association. That egg associated with the hen. It associated for 21 days. That hen only lives about a year, right? A normal lifespan is 1 year. But imagine that 21 days it dedicated from that 1 year, 21 days it dedicated. The egg enjoyed the association. When it enjoyed that association, that which was dead became alive. But in this association, there's two things. One is the association, and one is the right type of association. One was the association, and one was the right type of association. Not just an association, the right type of association. And you must look at this. So I'm inviting you all today that this natural lesson that Allah speaks about, look into it. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُصُونَ. When he speaks about these things, understand, try and work it out, think about it. So there's two things in this. One is the association. One is the right type of association. For 21 days consecutively, that thing's figure is just the egg. Nothing but the egg. Just go and check the thing. Just keep it only for 1 month or 2 months and just see. Just look at it. Understand. So, say for example that then it sat for 1 day and says, no, you know, I sat for 1 day, complete I sat. Now, 1 day I must chill out, go there for the beach, go for a ride, a little bit, meet Mr. Rooster that side, eat something this side, I'll come back. I ask you, what will happen to the egg? With a sarjaiga, it will rot. In just 1 day, that thing neglects 1 day, then you're going to go. So exactly the same, association, but the right type of association, not just association. Now you say, no, I'm sitting with Abu Zuranadi, but what? The right association. That life comes with the right type of association and association. Al-Mawad Thami Sabrahman Allah gives this example, and then he says, kisi ko mayus hone ki zarurat nahi hai. No person is supposed to be despondent of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, right? If Allah Ta'ala could bring about life to the dead, Allah could bring about life to the dead, right? Then the hearts of the Buzurgan Adeen are far, far greater than the ability and the capability of Zen. If you give them the right type of association, they'll also live in your heart. أَوَ مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَا. Was dead, and Allah gave him life. Now then you'll ask the third question, how long must be the association? So again you'll learn the same thing from the hen and the egg. That thing had to give the right type of association, forget all its outing, entertainment, the dhyan must be just there, right? The time must be also there, right? Number two. Number three is this, for every type of a situation, there will be a different type of a duration. That thing needed 21 days for that thing to ripen, right? So, for you to ripen, to come out from your immaturity. Now presently we are immature. Why we immature? Because we are still consumed by nafs and shaitan. Simply put, we still consume. So we haven't come out of that immaturity. This is the approximate words of Maulana Rumi. I'm quoting it, but it's just the approximate words of Imam Allama Rumi Rahmatullahi. Says Niist Mard, the man is who? The one that money se nikal gaya. He came out from his money. In other words, he came out from his immaturity. That person is a man. But you still consume with that immaturity, dunya, etc., right? Temptation, etc. You just after that. Then you haven't come to the level of your maturity. You haven't come. So the duration that is required to come out of that immaturity, that's the level of association. You haven't done that, you haven't gone. And that applies to everything. Everything in this world, it requires that level of care. The child that just came out now, it requires. While the child was within the womb, it required the attention, right? It came up, it required the attention. Say for example, the mother didn't give it the attention in the stomach, or didn't give it that attention when it came out. I ask you, would the child be fully developed? For the physical self to understand the association. Right? Don't you understand the for the physical well-being, we understand the... So for the spiritual well-being, don't you require that association? And how much more important is the spiritual? We see that the importance of this, of the material, right? The physical we see the importance. So the spiritual, that which will transcend beyond this life into Jannah, etc., etc., how much more important it is to get that right. So we were talking about Abbas radiallahu anhu, and we branched off, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and that villager came and gave him that consolation, that comfort. So that was one line. خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَبَّاسِ أَجْرُهُ Abbas, right, you enjoyed your father, his company, etc. But the better thing was the reward that you will get with the demise. For the pain and the grief, the reward that you're going to get. But because you don't see the reward, therefore you don't identify with it. And then he says the second line. The second line of comfort that this dihati, this villager gives, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَبَّاسِ And now, Abbas is gone, right? You were trying to make him comfortable. You were trying your best to make him feel nice, comfortable, relaxed mentally, physically, etc. But now that he's gone to Allah Ta'ala, then where's the comparison? Can you show the comfort that Allah Ta'ala will show? Can you show the muhabbat and the love that Allah Ta'ala will show? Can you show the reward that Allah Ta'ala will show? There's no comparison. Allah Ta'ala will do far more than what you could do for Abbas. Right? You could do for Abbas, your father, as long as he was alive. But what Allah Ta'ala will do for him now is far more than what you would have done. Now look at this one person, right? So Abbas, Ibn Abbas used to say after that, the type of relaxation and comfort that I got mentally from this person, I didn't get from anybody. He said it very clear words. Now look at a different situation, the next situation. Man got sick, the doctor treated him. Talking of a real situation, right? But unfortunately that person, his health deteriorated until he died. So they made up a lawsuit against the doctor. The doctor didn't treat him how he's supposed to be treating him. That resulted in the death, right? Alright, it was a court case. It resulted in this person going to prison, the doctor going to prison for 5 years, right? But I ask you, now that the doctor went to prison for 5 years, will that relieve him of his anxiety, worry, grief, etc.? It's not good. I fixed him, I put him in place, that's all. That's all he can say. It's not going to relieve him from anxiety, worry, pain. It's not going to bring about relief. The first situation, that villager showed that type of relaxation, what a relaxation it brought to him. Right? See that? So that iman in the ghaib, iman in the unseen, what it does to the person. In South Africa, as well as in India, before a prisoner, right, a hard-term prisoner, then he used to be hanged. India also, they should do it. Yes. After that now, I think about 30 years now, they stopped this thing. But until about 30, 40 years, they've been practicing it. So many situations in India, when that person is about to be hanged, they'll give him a last wish, what you wish. Right, as a courtesy, whatever. But now the person is going to go now. So they give him a last wish. what your heart desires, what you wish for. So now there's two Muslims, right? But this person here doesn't believe like he ought to believe. You know, I said committed to deen. He's not committed to deen. And this person is committed to deen. Now look at the responses. The one that is not committed to deen, his response in the last hours of his life is, you know, you are telling me to recite kalima and make tawbah, etc. So I read kalima all my life, but it couldn't do anything for me. It's not doing anything for me now. So what's the point of me reciting the kalima now? See that? It couldn't do me anything all my life. Now that I'm about to leave, what can the kalima do for me? So that's one response. The other response is, the person is in the last hours of life now. He says, you know, he heard that Mullah came to do the last rites, you know. So he heard him out. He says, really, I was wrong. I messed it up. I make tawbah. I'm regretful. I'm remorseful that I committed the crime for which I brought embarrassment to myself, my family, my household, my friends, etc. So primarily, I ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And the people that I brought pain to, I ask them for forgiveness as well. And I'm renewing my kalima, la ilaha illallah. The only thing I hope now is, if you need to execute me on a Friday, let me perform my Jummah namaz, and after that do what you need to do. Right? With a smile on the face, he read the kalima and he's gone. I ask you, both left the world in the same style or different? He died, you can understand what is the consequence, and he died, you can understand what is the consequence. You see this belief, that's what I say repeatedly, belief is relief. Really want relief, then to the extent of the strength of the belief is the relief. Belief is weak, then there's no relief. Then you will be just trying material, security, I got this, let me secure again. Let me secure this. To which point? At one point you will have to cut off, you say, no, enough is enough. I can't secure anything beyond this. I secure to this point, beyond that I can't do anything. Anybody will tell you, even the doctor will tell you, we have put procedures in place, beyond this we can't do anything. Now turn to Allah. Although I'm disappointed when the doctor says that. The doctor should have said that from the first day of the treatment, that I'll put procedures, but the shifa is in Allah's hands. If we'll put procedures, we are doctors, we know how to put procedures together. But really the shifa and the healing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether now or whether later on, but the healing is in Allah's hand. As Mughira ibn Shoba, the same iman, you know, get that iman right. Mughira ibn Shoba radiallahu anhu is one of the governors, one of the more important governors of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Because Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says to him that, tell me something that you learned directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Something that you learned directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bukhari Sharif riwayat says, what I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly, and after every farz namaz, he would recite, Allahumma la mani alima atait, wa la mu'ti alima manat, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minkal jadd. Allah Pak, what you give, nobody can take away. And what you take away, nobody can give. What you give, nobody can stop. And what you stop, nobody can give. And what I am proud of Jaddi min Kaljad, and no matter who strives and how hard he strives, nothing can work against the decision of Allah Ta'ala. He decides on something, your striving is of no essence. You see, this grief and pain is because you had a projection. It didn't work out. But you didn't realize that beyond your projection, above your projection, is the decision of Allah Ta'ala. And what you need to be doing is be pleased with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it works in your favor or against you, right? You look at the makhluk, you look at the person, but did you look at the hand that controls that makhluk? Do you ever think about that? See that hadith of Ali radiallahu a Muslim behavior. What is a Muslim behavior? He's got a case against a Jew, right? Now, it's a court appearance. Ali is the Khalifa, he's the Amirul Mu'mineen. He's the Amirul Mu'mineen, he's the Khalifa of the time, and now the Jew is summoning him to court, to the judge that he has appointed. He's appointed him as a judge. The Jew is summoning him. So Hazrat Ali radi Allah is claiming that the saddlery belongs to me. Right. In an Islamic law, then the claimant needs to present the proof. He must present. So you say, all right, you claim that this is yours. Where's the proof? The claimant was doing it. That's his duty. Al-bayyinatu al-mudda'i wal-yaminu ala man ankar. So your duty is to present the proof. So the court is asking him, Shurey perhaps it was, Shurey is asking him, where's the proof? Bring your proof. So he presented two people. One is a slave that was freed, Kambar, right? And the second was his son, Hassan radiyallahu anhu. So the judge is presiding over the case and he says, your proof is flawed. So why is it flawed? This is my free slave, he's a free man. And Hassan radiyallahu anhu, Hassan wal Hussein Sayyida Shababi Ahl Jannah, he is the leader of the youth of Jannah. So what's the flaw? So yes, a father, a child cannot be a witness for his father. A child cannot act as a witness for his father. That's Islamic law, no? Although Ali radiallahu anhu had another view. He had another view. But the presiding judge, he said, I'm of the view that the son cannot act as a proof for his father. He cannot stand. Now the award is given to the Jew. Till the saddle is gone, right? Class. Now the Jew is scratching his head. Judge appointed by the state. The case is against the state, right? And the judge is appointed by the state. The state has appointed this person as a judge. And the judge has awarded the Jew that is supposed to be like someone that is detestable, etc., right? But he's awarded the case. And really, the saddlery doesn't belong to me. The Jew is thinking that I stole this thing. It doesn't belong to me, it belongs to him. He's seeing this, he's scratching his head. How can it be? This must be divine. It must be from Allah Ta'ala. It's not man-made. Now he's walking out of court. Ali is walking out of court and he smiles, all smiles. Although he had a different opinion altogether, that my opinion is something else, the judge's opinion is different altogether, but our command, we commanded Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasulah wa Ulil Amri minkum. Follow the people of authority amongst you. Not amongst kuffar now. This law applies in an Islamic state. It's not a non-Islamic state. So the people that are vested in authority amongst you, amongst the Muslims, not people vested in authority in a non-Islamic state. So the compulsion, the obligation is in an Islamic state. If someone is appointed as an authority, then listen to him. Okay. Now I'm not saying now that violate the law, break the law, break all the laws. I'm showing you what is obligatory, what is farz. What is farz is you follow Allah Ta'ala, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the people in authority in an Islamic state, you will listen to them. Like it's an obligation to listen to Allah Ta'ala, obligatory to listen to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then obligatory also to follow the people that are vested in authority in an Islamic state. Ali Yang is walking with cheers. Not disappointed, nothing, absolutely. The law went against me, although there's a huge crowd of people witnessing this whole case. So it doesn't bring any embarrassment because I have upheld the law of Allah Ta'ala. I have upheld the law of Allah Ta'ala. I feel so good. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave me the grace to uphold and to honor His law. Alhamdulillah. Now the Jew is scratching head by, hey, where is this thing coming from? Then he says it has to be divine. Although it was a conspiracy, it was a plan, right? Just to verify that is this Islam, is it a man-made thing or is it divine? Now I understand that it's not a man-made thing, it's divine. So I say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I am so wealthy, I can buy off 3/4 of Madina Mura, I'm so wealthy. Half my wealth is going for Islam. But you see, what turned the person's mind is that Iman of Ali radiallahu anhu, Iman is so strong. Though it would be like an embarrassing situation, a man gave a law, passed a law against me, and so many people to view. But for that moment, I'm not embarrassed because I was blessed with maintaining and respecting the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm happy about it. We spoke about ghar ki ta'aleem. And I said, about 4 or 5 places in the Quran Sharif, this thing has been repeated. See, I showed 2 places, and all are commanding. Anzir ashirataka al-aqrabin is a command. Hu anfusakum is a command. Anzir ashirataka, your immediate people. Now, why so much of emphasis on your immediate people? Your household, your friends, your associates, warn them, teach them about deen. Why? Because if you are talking to them about iman, there will be 2 benefits, 2 advantages. One is this, you keep talking about iman, you keep making talim, like we say, make talim. An easy way for teaching them is talim, right? Because you talk to them about iman, you talk to them about deen, you will encourage them on the righteous things, right? After some times, there will be a conducive environment in the house. The house will be conducive. I know someone passed away about over 35 years ago. So my elder brother took his family, etc., the ladies, to go and bewa. You know, they go and sit and offer condolence. So some children were also there, 4 or 5 years of age. So they took them all to sit there to give offer condolence. Now the child, about maybe about 3 or 4 years of age, so he saw the television screen. He's saying, my elder brother, Ahmad Papa, what is in this shaitan box? Front of the host. But isn't this a shaitan box? But now you see, the support that you get, if you did ghar ki talim, when there was talim in the house, now if you are failing in your duty, your child is reminding you, Abba, why are you looking at the shaitan box? Abba, you're eating with the left hand, you know you must eat with the right hand. You know shaitan eats with the left hand. And I see, it doesn't make sense, right? You practice the sunnah, you read everything, but you didn't share it with the family, you didn't teach them, right? Now you going towards Jannah, and they moving towards Jahannam, I see, is that right? So you saw the wrong, whether it's small or big, correct it. فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِ Correct it, talim, every day. Like you're so upset about your own pleasure, your own comfort. The kurta was washed, but it was not ironed. I want to see that man whose demeanor doesn't change. Or it wasn't washed like how he wanted it. And I want to see your face not changing. There was some little bit of dirt or something, whatever. But I want to see that man whose face doesn't change. But he's spotless. You know, I go to work. And how can I, what do people think about me? But the talim was done in the house. Alright, never mind, tomorrow we'll do it again. We didn't do it today, tomorrow. I ask you, for your personal comforts, do you have the same type of a mindset? We didn't have meat for tomorrow, tomorrow we'll have. We didn't have lunch today, tomorrow we'll have, it's alright. Not a train smash, we didn't eat, we're not dying. We'll just sleep, we'll have some milk and sleep, tomorrow we'll see about it. Do you have the same? The second thing in your meals is that you want the meals to be exciting. It mustn't be just a meal, it must be exciting. The Imam Sahib from the top masjid is teasing me, you know. Say, yeah, no, I know you're standard though. Say, but the samosa, there must be ice cream. So what I'm showing you here, that we want that food and we want that as a standard. We understand, it must be exciting, appealing, right? It must be appealing. So exactly the same, can't we make the talim also exciting, nice, juicy, understanding, they like it. Hey, Abba, what happened, that story, man, you know, you told us about Muhammad ibn Maslama radiyallahu anhu, and how he went, and just tell us about this. Isn't there a need to make it exciting to the children? They like it, they like Allah Ta'ala, they like deen. That's what the hadith says, that you make Allah Ta'ala dear to people, and Allah Ta'ala will make you his dear. What? You make people love Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will love you. Now you spoke to them about deen in such a way that they began to love Allah Ta'ala. They began to love Allah Ta'ala as a way of thanking you. Allah Ta'ala makes you his beloved. So these little children, impressionable minds, you made them love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is so loving, so caring. Where did we get this from? Allah pakimah. We got a shelter, we got food, we got good clothing, we got good homes, everything we got good. Compare ourselves to the people living in this informal settlement, etc. They don't have water for themselves. Sometimes for a mile they have to carry water on their backs and bring it home. Everything is found here. So how thankful and how grateful are we supposed to be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So you're talking to them and you're talking to them every day. I ask you, won't these things settle in the heart? Primary things, main, basic things. Are we sharing this tip? No. You're only a man if you can make money, right? You must be a person generating money, then you're worth something. And you can't generate money, then you're worthless. But, so we want to turn the child into a money-making machine. That's what we are doing. Are we doing? Ask ourselves, are we? He must make money, then he's worth his while. If he can't make money, then he's worthless. So the whole thing revolves around money. If he can make money, then he's great. If he can't make money, then he's worthless. Right? So you see this verse of the Quran Sharif. So one is this, when you have brought deen into the home, right, then that becomes a conducive environment. Right? You came into the home, now you talk about deen, namaz, zikr, etc. So you saw your one son is reading Quran Sharif, so nicely he's reading. And you saw your daughter making dua, right? She's crying to Allah Ta'ala. And you saw your wife reading Salatul Tasbih, right? You felt so nice, right? Then you saw your other son, mashallah, he's making ta'lim of some kitab, right? Now, when you see all this happening in your home, I ask you, will you have the heart to view some movie and all stupid things? Right? Will you have the heart to do it? But if you didn't make any effort on your house, then, you know, I said, when this deen is struck onto the body, then it becomes a potential danger. They said, oh, but that Mawlana said that movie is permissible. What's wrong in a movie? I must entertain you a little bit. But that is a result of you not working on your house. When you didn't work on your house, now the children are misbehaving. When they're misbehaving, now you ask me, why are they misbehaving? But you deen have a value. The only thing that have a value in your house was two things: material security, and they must appear nice. But in this world today, what people are looking for, two things: material must be secure, and you must have a good name. What good name? Your reputation. You mustn't be embarrassed in front of people, mustn't feel ashamed, mustn't be pushed down amongst people. You must have a name. I ask you, the normal person in this day, Muslim or non-Muslim, anything, any other figure is what? Any other figure? Main figure? What's my main figure? Material security, and I must have a good name. Nothing else. Deen, come, what are you? Allah will make things right. That's the attitude towards deen. But now that's because there's no ghar ki talim. You know that we're not teaching the deen, we're not talking about deen. That home has to have all this. I showed you the third place in the Quran Sharif. The fourth place in the Quran Sharif, all is coming as a command, you know, as a command of Allah Ta'ala, fourth place. وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَذْكُرْنَا zikr. Zikr can have about four meanings, right? Remember, you also remember the Quran Sharif, the teaching of the Quran Sharif, hikmah, hadith. So Quran and hadith, you also remembrance, you also think about it. Remember that. The second level of remembrance is you apply it. You remember it, I applied it. No, when I went shopping, I thought of you. So when I thought of you, I bought the Lindt chocolate. I thought of you. So when you thought, think of someone, what you do, you apply yourself. Don't you apply yourself? You apply yourself. So it's not just reminiscing, but you're applying. That's the second level of waskurna, right? Remember. The third level of waskurna is what you learned, you are sharing with others. Waskurna ma yutla fi buyutikum. In ayatillahi wal hikmah. So you are thinking about it yourself, applying it, and then you are talking about it in the household. وَذْكُرْنَا مَا يُطْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Ask you when it's emphasized four times in the Quran Sharif, and we failed in this duty, do we have an excuse before Allah Ta'ala to say that, no, Allah Ta'ala, you know, I was too busy, I couldn't do ghar ki talim? Can we have that? Can we have an excuse? Four times Allah Ta'ala is in very clear words, do this. Stuck. Learned it, now apply it. One is ghar ki talib, right? The second thing that the hadith says, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا. Don't make your home a kabristan. So the Muhaddiseen have given two explanations. Don't make your home a kabristan. Two explanations. One explanation is, like in a kabristan, you don't see in the kabristan some making namaz. You see? So some zikr and namaz, Quran Sharif, do it at home as well. That zikr, Quran Sharif is not only for the masjid. لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا. Don't make your homes kabristan. Kabristan, you don't do all these things here. You don't see your bring Quran Sharif recite. Although it is permissible, but you don't see it happening. So the Quran Sharif that is supposed to be read, some part of it at home, some part of the nafil namaz at home. So now, when those avenues of shaitan have been ousted, have been removed, right? Because you've got no picture, right? And zikr, Quran Sharif, tilawat, حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Now your home is being guarded by malaika. There's no possibility of wrong influences to come into the house. Don't you see that? I remember my marhum mother used to say, when the days that we do talim in the house, every day it takes me some time, but the day we do it properly, this such a serene environment, happiness, contentment, relaxation, mental, physical, every way we relax, relationship, everything is going so well. But if sometimes there's a guest or something and we miss it, there is some problem coming. Something is breaking, some problem or the other is happening. But you see this, حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ, how clear, how distinct. So old lady now, she's observing, alright, the talim is done. And the home environment is so beautiful, there's an understanding, fulfillment, we feel relaxed, we feel comfortable, we feel at ease. But provided that zikr, namaz, etc. is done with proper focus. Focus, attention, we're doing it correctly, then you'll find that serene environment around that house. The child is talking about Allah Ta'ala, he's making zikr, he's doing Quran Sharif, he's talking to his father about deen. The father can talk to him about deen, and it's carrying on so easily. Zainuddin ibn Nujaym, you know, Bahru Raif. Now, the muzakara of ilm, talking about deen, etc., was so common in them. Now, he's a child. He's a child now, maybe 5 years of age, and one person comes in to ask one masla, fatwa. So this child, 5 years of his age, he's playing with a stick, and he's doing as though that thing is my horse now. So he says, what happened? No, I came to ask one masla. What's a masla? It's a masla. The child said, Farafa, this, look at this kitab here, and this is the masla. And now let's just move out of the way. You know, you're on the way of my horse now. I'll just turn you around. Just move away. But you see this ilmi muzakara, and they talk about it. They learn it and they talk to the children about it. Instead of just teaching them 2 plus 2 is 4, 4 times 2 is 8. I don't say don't teach that, but that's not the only thing that you teach them. That's not the way. Teach them about the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the glory of Allah Ta'ala. That in your presence and your absence, you got the understanding of Allah Ta'ala. And you see the rewards for it afterwards. Now you age, they've got the recognition, understanding of Allah Ta'ala. When you become a liability, they say, Abba, I'll bring the tea for you. Abba, I'll give you a massage. Abba, I'll do this for you. No, Abba, I must be by your side. Otherwise, they're only looking for a material reward. One man was sick now, very ill. You know, when your mind is just materialistic. So, ill, all the children deserted. Now he's a liability. Now, what's the point of being around him? So now the father is thinking, you know, I'm half paralyzed, I can't go to the toilet, I can't eat and all that, they deserted me now. I need to carry on until I die. So he's thinking of a plan. What must I do? So one child now, he said, let me try one luck with this child here. He said, you know, I got a big treasure, I got a big pot of gold, but it's deep, about 6 meters down, this spot here, under me, when this room, it's all cemented and you can't do anything about it. But it's 6 meters down. Big dig of gold I got, pure gold. Now I'm feeling now, you know, I'm going to leave now. 1-2 years there, I can see now my tabiat is just deteriorating. And I need to give it to someone. But I think, you know, you're the most suitable person. Just discussing this. Now that child, 24/7, he's at the father's side. I say that you can attend to your business, come to me at night, it's alright. No, Abba, I must be with you anytime. Night, day, give you all his service. Please go see to your wife, see to your children, through everything. You see this, what we are doing into the child, making him a money-making machine. So money will give money,
He doesn't give service. Now, that service is also for money. Now, he's giving full service, 3 years, properly give the service, attention, night, day, massage, whatever, tea and all, everything he gave. Now, father dead and gone, now he's looking for it. See that? وَلَا يَهُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. This dunya is a deception. Don't let this dunya deceive you.